We've heard it said in the vernacular that hindsight is 20/20. And as Joni Mitchell sang in the famous 1960 song, Parking Lot, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Or, as Eleanor Roosevelt is famous for saying, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. And that's why we call it the present. In scripture and in the secular world, we are constantly reminded to make the most of our time, because none of us knows when our spirit might be recalled to the great Creator God who gave it. One thing I've tried to incorporate into the everyday lately is don't put off until tomorrow what you can say today if you have something you want somebody to know, especially if it's something which will brighten their day. If someone has done something commendable, it doesn't even have to be to you personally, but let them know that you appreciate what they've done. Don't leave something unsaid until it's too late to encourage, appreciate, or thank someone for the good things that you see them do. In Psalms 90, verse 12, we read, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, don't waste time on idle foolishness when every moment is so very precious. It weighs heavily on our minds when people we know and care about die without our having had an opportunity to let them know how much we cared. Over the past very short while, I count 9 people whom I have known closely, worked with, lived with, traveled with, and befriended, some over many decades, who have died. Some I wasn't even aware were ill. None of them died in accidents, and all of them were a similar age to me. And the day came when they were just simply called home. I did not get the opportunity to say everything that I would have liked to every one of them. And sadly, we can never get that time back. Yesterday is history. You're constantly admonished to live fully in the moment, today. Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. In verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every day, live the grace, mercy, and peace we have in Christ, as Paul reminds Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, verse 2. And John uses these same words in 2 John, verse 3, when greeting a well-known lady in the early church, or that might possibly refer to a small group of believers. A church is often referred to in the feminine. It would seem that by the end of the first century, the scattered groups around the near Middle East were using this scripture, live the grace, mercy, and peace we have in Christ, as a common way of greeting each other when writing or visiting around the area. Recently, I read an article by a man named Ed Dunn, a very heartbreaking and yet right-on-point story of the importance of living every day to the full. Has anyone here heard of a condition called primary progressive aphasia. Primary progressive aphasia is a neurological, means connected to the brain, syndrome that affects the ability to communicate. People who have it often have trouble expressing their thoughts or understanding of what is said, and they have trouble finding the right words. This is not your usual can't think of the word right off the top of your head kind of thing that we all experience. This is a much more sinister loss of the ability to communicate. People with primary progressive aphasia often lose the ability to speak fairly early on. Symptoms can begin to manifest before the age of 65, and they worsen over time. Ed Dunn and his college sweetheart had married young, but didn't have any children for many years. And by the time their daughter was born, things had cooled to the point where Ed and his wife had decided to divorce. The relationship between his ex-wife and their daughter was strained to the point of non-communication from the girl's teenage years. But over time, Ed and his ex, in an attempt to co-parent their daughter, found a way to become friends again. And as her mother's condition became obvious, the daughter tried to reach out. But things had got to the point where the mother was no longer able to carry on a coherent discussion about anything. Eventually, Ed and his daughter had to place the mother in a care facility. Even now, as her condition progresses, the mother is cared for but can no longer communicate at all, although Ed and his daughter continue to visit her every day. The daughter's greatest regret? That she will never, ever be able to have a meaningful conversation with her mother. As Ed points out, this is a stark reminder that none of us knows how or when our end will come. It may not even be the end of life brought on by the stoppage of the heart, but it may be a cessation of our lives as we have enjoyed them on a daily basis with verbal interaction. Make the most of every single day we are given, because we can never know how many days that will be. Another thing we have to remember is that we have no control over the number of our days. Jesus was talking to his disciples about worry in Luke 12:25, when he says, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" And in verse 26, "Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?" Recently, I was fretting again about being ill, and a friend reminded me that I might as well just sleep it off, because I can't control how, where, when, or why the end is going to come. And even though all our efforts cannot add an hour to our lives, we do have a responsibility to take care of our personal requirements in order to honor God's physical temple, which is our bodies. Exercise, good diet, and a healthy lifestyle may not add years to our lives, but it makes the daily experience more enjoyable and maybe make us a little less prone to premature illness. There are two examples in my life which illustrate that we cannot guarantee a longer, healthier, or more enjoyable lifestyle by our own actions. My grandfather, whom I've mentioned on several occasions over the years, died at the ripe old age of 96 and a half. He had no health problems. His mind, like Ken's, was as sharp as a tack. He was building himself a 30-foot boat, and he got a sliver of wood in his ankle. He treated it himself and kept on working, but it became septic, blood poisoning. He was healthy enough right up to that time to travel whenever he felt like it, and had spent a summer with us when I was a teenager. He was 94 years old. He phoned in the middle of the night to say that he had arrived on the ferry. Could someone come and pick him up? He enjoyed a 4-decade-long career with Hudson's Bay Company as a manager at remote outposts in northeastern Canada, and for the last 25 years in St. John's, Newfoundland, as a fur shipper, sending mostly beaver pelts over to London for the Hudson's Bay Company. At retirement, Northern Hudson's Bay manager perks included a lifetime supply of rum and tobacco, which my grandfather enjoyed right up to his death. He was always busy and always on top of whatever was happening. A tot of rum and a pipe every night for over 30 years did not appear to affect his longevity. My sister Kay, on the other hand, tried everything possible to make sure she and her family ate healthy, homegrown food and as much as possible didn't use any chemicals. She exercised by playing most sports right up until she couldn't manage it anymore. Didn't smoke and rarely drank. She had a collection of essential oils that would rival any mall outlet, and recipes to cure everything from headaches to bunions. Still, the last 20 plus years of her life were spent traveling for tests, procedures, and surgeries for various forms of cancer, heart trouble, and other related ailments. When we think we are the ones controlling our days, it always helps me to ponder what might have been the expected outcomes of their lifestyles. But ultimately, the opposite seems to have happened. It just reinforces that we have very little, if any, control over the length of our lives. In his book, The Fate of Empires and the Search for Survival, Sir John Bagot Glubb compares the rise and fall of empires to the life and death of human beings. His theory is that our lives are our private empires, and the lessons learned from history can be a guideline for ourselves. Every day, all around us, is the evidence that we are temporal. His refrain, as history has gone, so go we. In Proverbs 27:1 reminds us, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. What we do have some little control over is the time we are blessed with during the gift of every day. The moments we are given from the time we open our eyes in the morning and hopefully say with enthusiasm, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118:24. And we rejoice until we close our eyes again at night, because this is the only gift of today we will ever be given. How we spend our gift of hours showcases to those around us where our hope lies. It is our duty to make the most of every hour. There may be days when circumstances dictate that we are more sober, more circumspect, and yes, sometimes even lost in sadness. Yet inwardly, we can rejoice in the gift of another day. On those days when we may be a little down, or even sometimes so ill that we may lose sight of the gift of today, we're told in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." In addition to the gift of today, we have an opportunity to enjoy and further the spread of the gifts that come along with living this physical life. In 2 Peter 1, verses 1 and 2, Peter blesses those who, through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." This faith, this grace, and this peace is only possible because we've been given the gift of today. These words are echoed in Jude verses 1 and 2. "To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ." Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. No doubt we all have or will experience regret at not having said or done something for someone while we had the opportunity. Maybe we would have liked to spend more time with friends and loved ones who are no longer with us. Maybe we thought of something we wanted someone to know, but never said it. Maybe old disagreements and petty squabbles have kept us from enjoying friends and family to the full. Don't allow little things to fester and damage relationships beyond the point of repair. As Jesus admonishes us in Matthew 5:24, "Leave your gift in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift." Friends, we have the gift of today to live in the moment and to appreciate the mercy, grace, peace, and love of our great Creator, who wants to give us every good and perfect gift.